Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Puma. Black Thor, Django coming up in a bit. Let's go get him. Giving me inboxes, and I wanted to mention that some of the inboxes I'm getting is about the voice of Black Thor. How you doing, Black Thor?
Wow. Hey.
Yeah, wow is right.
Yeah, thanks.
A lot of
thanks,
the ladies.
You know.
I don't know if it's the
wow.
big hammer or the voice, but a lot of ladies.
I'm talking
about the deep tones of Black Thor.
I'm definitely touched. Okay. I'm touched. Wow. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling great. Just been trying to prepare for the show today. There's a lot of stuff that we can talk about, man. I mean, wow. Didn't think that we would be able to talk about so many different things during this time of the year. But, man, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that we can talk about. How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good. Can't complain at all. But, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things rolling around. And usually this time of the year, it's kind of like a dead time. But, no, there's a bunch of stuff floating around, which is a good thing, very good thing.
Okay. I'm going to let you choose the topic. But before you choose the topic, let me let everybody know that you can call in and chat with us, ask questions. I know there are a lot of people who call in and just, but you can call in at 914-219-0880. That's 914-219.
Okay. A topic, huh? Well, you know, football's my first love, so if you don't mind, I'm going to go there. And, the question
okay.
I have is kind of surprised me. Yesterday, was yesterday, the day before, when Cincinnati signed their quarterback, Dalton, to that new contract. A little surprising in a sense because I would have thought they'd let the year play out before they stepped to the bat and signed him, even though the deal is, when you really look at the configuration of the deal, it's not a lot that they're giving him when they're breaking it down. But just I'm wondering now with him, I mean, he hasn't won a playoff game in 3 years, and sometimes he disappears during the game. What's going to be his motivation now? What's going to drive him? You know, so now he's got a little more money coming in the bank. is he really going to work harder to really try to get over that hump?
I'm really suspect about this because this guy, looking through the stats, he's thrown 33 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. I think he's being overpaid. This is what I said this last week, and now I think the nails are in the coffin for Coach Lewis. If they don't turn it around, the Cincinnati Bengals have basically told Coach Lewis, this is our quarterback. You can't win with this quarterback, then maybe we need to make a change at coach.
Yeah. I remember you saying that last week, and, you know, it's funny when you said it. It caught me by surprise. I didn't really think about it that deeply, but I think you're right, yeah, because that team is, if you look at the team, they're built to win. I'm not going to say to win at all, but, I mean, on both sides of the field, that team is pretty deep. So, yeah, you can't go in the playoffs again and get spanked in the first round. I mean, that can't happen on a wild card. That really can't happen. Yeah, so he's really got to find a way to get them over the hump. I just find it interesting. I mean, here's a quarterback that basically, you know, that wolfs when he gets in the playoff, and then you basically throw him a contract. And I find that very interesting. But, yeah, I agree with you now. I mean, last week when you said it, caught me by surprise. But, yeah, I think he's had to show and prove. He really has to. I think he's been there like 10 years. Not what, 9, 10 years maybe? So, yeah, it's time. It's definitely time.
Yeah. He signed for a 6-year extension at $115 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much is that is guaranteed, but it seems to me that the Cincinnati Bengals are investing in this quarterback. And if they don't win right away, if they don't look like they're going to make the playoffs halfway through the season, I think Lewis is out of there as coach because they have really kind of committed to this quarterback. And
yeah.
I don't see that commitment with Lewis right now. I think they extended his contract here, I think, if I can remember, 1 or 2 more years. So they may be saying, hey, this is our guy, and if you can't win with this guy and you believe in this guy, then it may not be the guy, it may be you, and we need to get another coach in here. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Yeah. So
you know one thing I didn't pay attention to that happened over the weekend with the Paul George injury? I didn't want to see the video. I wasn't watching it. I didn't really want to see the video. But I always kind of felt, you know, I know Americans, we want to win at everything, and we want to dominate. I know the horse is out of the barn, but I always believe and felt that it's time to send college players back to play. I mean, we know we're dominating in basketball, but let's give some college players, some sophomores, some juniors, some seniors, give them some good experience, let them travel and play. And if they don't take them a medal, so what? Seriously. I mean, we don't have to dominate and win in everything. And I mean, it's just that I know these players want to feel that, you know, I won it for the USA, and that's all nice and good and dandy, but I kind of think this is a sign to saying that, no, really, you do enough during the regular season, let these college players, the ones that choose to stay in school past the first year, you know, they choose to stay in, let them compete and put together a good team and let them play. I mean, you got a college coach coaching them anyway. So, you know, put together a good college team, let them go play.
We talked about that last week, and as an owner, you don't own your players, and you can't tell them what to do, when to do it, if they want to do this kind of thing. But as an owner, if I were an owner, I would say to my player, like, listen, I know you want to do this, but, you know, we want to look at the season. I want to keep you healthy, and I don't want you to get hurt. And this was the first time it played out with Paul George. It played out where a player is hurt and he's gone for a season. That's it. And you don't know if he's ever going to come back and be the player that he was, because Danny Granger injured himself and he never came back to the player he was. And he played with Indiana and they just broke ties with Granger. He's with Miami now. But I'm looking at this roster, Mark. They narrowed it down to 16. I think they're going to narrow it down to 12, they're getting ready to cut 4 more players from this roster before they start up in Spain later on this month. You have Kevin Durant, you have Derrick Rose, you have Kyrie Irving, You have James Harden. You have Stephon Curry. You have Klay Thompson. You have Damian Lillard, Kenneth Faried, Andre Drummond, Kyle Culver. You have Plumlee, who they're saying that may beat out DeMarcus Cousins for that big man in there. To me, this doesn't look like an impressive team. And they just cut John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Paul Millsap. This doesn't look like a strong U.S. team.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, listen to the names you just ran off. I'm looking for defense. Yeah, you're right. It's not. I mean, other than probably Anthony Davis, you know, who and Cousins, okay, let's go with them. Where's your defense coming from? I mean, because everyone else you mentioned, and Kyrie Irving, to a degree, they're going to be looking to score. They're going to run down the court and just basically, you know, chuck and score. So, yeah, I don't see that as an impressive. Not that they can't do damage, but, yeah, it's nothing that I think that's really impressive. Now, do you ever watch when they're playing, let's just say the past few years, and they're playing and then they're going for the goal? Do you really clue in and pay attention?
Not really, because it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the goal. But these European teams are catching up. And my thing was, I was never one that bought into the dream team. I didn't care if we didn't send our NBA players over there because the rest of the world was sending their pro players to the Olympics. And I didn't care. I always liked it when college players played. It was more exciting. You're rooting for them. They're amateur sports. You got to know these players on a more personal level. You followed them after they left the Olympics, whether they went back to college or whether they went back to the pros. That was the interesting thing about seeing Michael and those guys when they were amateurs coming out of North Carolina, Indiana, and all those other colleges. That was the highlight of these college players going over there and playing against these so-called world-class teams from all over the world. And it gave you that excitement that our college players can compete. I think they have oversaturated the NBA with a lot of players that don't need to be in the NBA right now, that need more development. And now that they kind of depleted the college ranks, they won't go back to the college ranks. If they don't go back to college ranks, here's my proposal. Have half college players, half pro players, if you're going to send them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Follow up on the point that you said a little while ago that the foreign teams are catching up. You know what? I look at it like this. This may sound strange to say. They're not catching up, Don. They're just playing fundamental basketball. And you look at them,
sure,
they're playing fundamental basketball. So when you're using a bunch of guys that are not playing fundamental basketball, of course they're going to catch up because, you know, they're making their free throws, you know. They're cutting through the basket. They're boxing out. They're rebounding. Okay, so yeah, you know when and that's the thing. They're more fundamentally sound than a lot of NBA players.
And they know the European rules. They play the European style. They know the rules. They know the Olympic rules, which
mm-hmm.
is a little bit different from the NBA rules.
Mm-hmm.
So they play defense. They box out. They can play those zones. They shoot. They pass the ball. They run an offense.
Thank you.
So it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if the U.S. team lost in Spain based on this roster. I know Kevin Durant, but the only negative I have on Kevin Durant is that he's light in the booty. He's light in the booty and late in the game. He's not going to muscle down. There's nobody who's going to muscle down in the paint and get those hard-earned points in the paint when you need a high percentage shot. You got Kenneth Reed, but he's a rebounder, kind of a Dennis Rodman. He has more offensive game than Dennis Rodman, but he's not that go-to guy that you can throw it down. None of these guys are the go-to guy when you can throw the ball in the paint. None of them. No big men here. DeMarcus Cousins, he's still suspect. I don't know if he'll be able to handle some of the European players who are used to playing down low.
Yeah.
Mason Plumlee. They're saying that since he's a Duke guy, that Coach K is going to pick him, and he's going to be part of that team. And DeMarcus Cousins is going to be shipped back to Sacramento. That's the rumor.
Yeah, I could agree with that because DeMarcus Cousins can be somewhat of a headache too. So you know, you don't want to take a headache across seas if you don't have to. So that wasn't surprising me at all. Not at all. You know, I could see that happening because you know he can show off sometimes. He can definitely show off just a little bit. But you know, something I came across is interesting. Kind of it's a mixture of I guess sports and entertainment. They're thinking about doing a movie on Mike Tyson. This is what I find a little strange. Because it's just my opinion. I wasn't a big fan when Spike Lee brought him to Broadway. I wasn't a big fan of that. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Mike Tyson. I respect him as a boxer. But why would we want to take what he did and glamorize it? I just, for the life of me, I don't understand it. And I think even with a movie, I mean, here again, it's just my opinion, you glamorize it. I mean, you know, you're taking his buffoonery and you're glamorizing it. That's just my opinion. Yeah. I mean, there's many other stories that could be told, that we have, that could be told, and taking Mike Tyson and then you're putting him on a big screen and for us to sit there and chop on popcorn and watch it.
He did on up the James Brown story, and
I
highly recommend it. I just saw the movie Get On Up.
You did see it, okay?
And I highly recommend it. This guy Chadwick Boseman is becoming a favorite actor of mine. He was in 42, the Jackie Robinson story. Did a great job in that, and he did a great job in James Brown. I mean, as soon as he hit the stage and you saw him in the first couple of minutes of the movie, you're like, this is James Brown. The mannerism, everything, the walk, everything. And so one of the things that I want to talk about later with this Mike Tyson, because I want to hold off on this because I want to talk a little bit about boxing later on in the second hour, is that if anybody can really do it, I think Jamie Foxx can do it. And I don't know if it's to glorify Mike Tyson. I really don't know if it's to glorify, but to maybe try to catch some folks who had a hard life and had things go wrong in their lives, tasted some success, lost it, to maybe teach some lessons. And I kind of saw that in the James Brown movie about teaching lessons, about how you go about things, how you really kind of nurture relationships and things of that sort. So maybe they're doing it in that vein. But I saw the Ray Charles movie with Jamie Foxx and instantly thought that, man, this is Ray Charles. And if Jamie Foxx can pull that off, they're saying that if he can't pull off a younger Mike Tyson, I don't know. Jamie Foxx, you know, black don't crack. So he could probably pull that off. So I want to touch on that a little later. But let's go back to basketball with Kevin Love and the drama happening with Kevin Love. Because I don't want to leave basketball yet. I want to finish up the NBA. What do you think about the situation with Kevin Love?
I think it's much ado about nothing. You know, and I'm not trying to take away from his stats a little bit, but I think because, you know, LeBron went to Miami, he paired up with Dwyane and Bosh, there might be feeling now that he has to have somewhat of that again to do it again. I'm not a big fan of Kevin Love. I'm just not. I mean, I think he does well in Minnesota, but I'm not necessarily a big fan. I don't even think putting him on the team, I think it helps him in the East. You know, it would definitely help him in the East. I'm not going to say when they come out of the East and face some teams in the West, it's going to help them that much. I just don't see where it's going to make that much of a difference. I would say keep your young players that you have. I mean, you don't have to win it this coming year. Another year or two, I think that team could be ready. I mean, get the young players to come along, you know, and drop in another vet or two, and you could be ready. I just don't think depleting your young squad and bringing him in is automatically going to shoot you right up top, and championship is in your future. So I mean, I just don't. I mean, it sounds so easy to do. Like, again, you put them on the team automatically. Here comes championship. I don't think that's the case. I just don't think it. My opinion, but I'm not that impressed with them.
I'm thinking about this all day. It sounds like Kevin Love wants out of Minnesota. It sounds like he wants the opportunity to play with LeBron. It sounds like he sees that this is his chance to get that golden ring, that championship with LeBron, one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA. So it seems like he's pushing this, that, hey, I'm not going to come back to Minnesota, but you have an opportunity to get some quality players in here with me. Trade me now. Trade me to Cleveland. With Indiana going down with Paul George, Cleveland kind of looks like the team to beat in the East now. They look like the team to beat. So I could see Love saying, hey, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. And I think they're saying that the deal most likely will happen later this month on the 23rd or 24th when the rookie contract or Andrew Wiggins, is eligible to be traded to another team. And I feel bad for Andrew Wiggins because there are reports that are saying that LeBron hasn't even talked to this kid, which indicates that LeBron doesn't want to have a relationship with this kid and build some kind of relationship with this kid, so he knows that this kid is going to be leaving anyway, so why build a relationship with a potential competitor? And this kid is playing his heart out in the summer league, and he doesn't know where he's going to go. He's like in limbo because he's hearing these talks, and he just came out of college. He's, what, 18, 19 years old, if that? And you're hearing that you were drafted number one, and now you're going to be shipped to a team that you know that's not going to be in contention for any championship anytime soon. So I feel bad for Wiggins, but I really do think Kevin Love is going to Cleveland. I think he's pushing this trade. And if I was Minnesota, they're talking about getting Bennett and two first-round picks to Minnesota. I would try to hurt Cleveland a little bit more and throw in Waiters, throw in somebody else for that number one pick. If you want Love that bad and you think he is the missing piece to your championship, you got to give me a little bit more so that I can at least have a 500 team to try to get that eighth or seventh spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. That is true about LeBron if he's not talking to him. What he's going to be treated now, he's a young man that you can mentor while the time he's in Cleveland. So you really should open up and talk to him just a little bit. I mean, don't just kind of avoid him because he's going to be traded. He's not going to be much of a competitor or enemy of yours if he's another team, and he's a rookie. So really, put your arm around him, talk to him a little bit, explain to him some of the nuances of the NBA and what may happen, and develop a relationship with him and kind of, reach out to him. So I'm kind of a little, if that's the truth, I'm a little disappointed with him with that. But I'm not sure that the Timberwolves, I think in a sense, I'm not sure they're going to trade him. And here's my reason. I think that they already know he's leaving within a year. And they know at that point they're going to be a bad team. I'm not saying they're a good team now, but they know at that point that team, their roster is going to be depleted. They're going to be a bad team. I think they'd rather hold off for a year, keep him there, because they know he's leaving, make him play, make him honor that last year of his contract, at least have a little excitement for one more year, as opposed to turn him loose, grabbing some players. I don't think they really want Wiggins. I don't think so. My gut says to me they don't really want, because I think the deal is that what's-her-name shop to Minnesota a few months ago, Golden State, was actually a better deal. That's the deal they should have taken. So when they didn't really announce it for, remember the deal the Golden State was shopping to Minnesota? Yeah. Now that, in my opinion, was a better deal. And they didn't move. Yes. And they didn't move on that. They sat back. They didn't move. And that was before, if I remember correctly, that was before LeBron even went to Cleveland. So my point is, that's where I think, I don't think they're looking. I think, they like the attention, flirting around with it. But my gut says they're going to hang on to him one more year and then just let him walk, because I just don't see where the benefit for them and getting those players. Other than the round, I mean, some draft picks, yeah. But Minnesota's been getting draft picks for years. I mean, it's not like, you know, that team has been getting draft picks and been in the lottery, so it's no big deal. I just think, I mean, for what it's worth, on a team level and team perspective, one more year of Kevin Love in Minnesota at least keeps excitement in Minnesota. You get rid of him now, I'm sure the fans are going to kind of, you know, they're going to slump in their seats a little bit. So my guess is they're not going to trade him. I know the media, because they, you know, LeBron has been, other than dropping that letter, he's been quiet. So everybody's running and they're trying to second guess and all this stuff. And I do not want to read any more source. If you can't put your name behind something, stop, don't say it. Don't say it. This source stuff is driving me crazy. The source says, no, put your name behind it or keep your mouth shut.
Really? Here's what I'm thinking. If I'm a GM, I know this guy is not going to play in a Minnesota uniform next year. I know that he's not going to be happy, and that may mess up team chemistry this year. I want to get something for him. If he's that valuable to the Cavaliers, then I want to see how valuable he is. So I want to get as much as I can and get some first-round draft picks also so that I can keep my team in contention. I know the team might not contend for a championship, but at least we can stay in contention to try to get in the playoffs next year with the players that I'm getting. Or I can wheel and deal and get some more players with the guys that are coming in that I can trade later. Okay? If I'm Golden State as a manager, I'm not giving up Klay Thompson. I'm not giving up Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is a baller. And you're going to have to give me more than Kevin Love for me to give up Klay Thompson. Because I think he's one of those players that, in 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to be saying him and Curry are two of the best. They're saying that now. They're two of the best 1-2 guard shooting, 1-2 guards in the league. And to break that up, those guys can score. Those guys can fill it up. Klay Thompson is serious business. I wouldn't give him up. I really wouldn't give him up, not for Kevin Love. And you got a big man down there with Bogut. And you got the guy from Michigan State. I forget his name. His name escapes me. He's a big guy who can play power forward down there, number 23. And I'll probably remember his name in my sleep. But I'm not giving up Klay Thompson. So I understand what you're saying about keeping him around, not giving him up, trying to do what you can with him. But if I'm a GM, I'm looking at down the road, who do I put in on this team that will continue to fill up these seats in Minnesota to keep us a contender? And if they're trying to get this guy, I want to make sure that it's an equal trade, and I want to get something for him as opposed to just letting him go and not getting anything for him next year.
Yeah, here's another little point. Remember, you know, you're a Knicks fan, so I'm going to pull Knicks into the equation. Last year when the Knicks were playing, we all kind of said, get rid of Carmelo, trade him, get something for him, because he's going to walk and we're going to get nothing. Okay? And the Knicks chose not to. They sat their hands and said, you know, okay, we're going to let this play through. Of course, Knicks have more money to offer than any other team, so I can understand that them playing their card that way. But I know Kevin Love said it. He came out even before the season saying, you're not going to stay in Miami. But here again, I wouldn't be surprised when if they just not, they let him sit, and somehow money talks to him, and he keeps himself right, he stays right there in Minnesota. It wouldn't surprise me. It just wouldn't. Now, him staying in Minnesota is a big stretch, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you look at what free agency did this time around, other than LeBron moving, a couple other, you know, no-name players moving, they all went back home. They went back home. So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It just wouldn't surprise me.
I'd be surprised. I'd really be surprised if he stays in Minnesota. The way he keeps pushing this, and they sound like they have a gentleman's agreement that this deal is going to go down at the end of this month. They're just waiting for this period where they could trade Wiggins. Because
now, when you say,
I guess, league rules, they have to keep him at least 30 days before they can trade him.
Now, when you say he's pushing it, all I've heard of him state is that he's not re-signing. he hasn't said anything else. I haven't heard him basically say anything else. So that's what made it here again. He just said he's not going to stay there. He's not resigning. So I, now that's what here, I'll go back to my point with the media again. They took that and ran, and of course you get sources speaking, blah, 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 blah. But I prefer to see the man himself says, you know what, I don't want to be here. I want to be traded. I just, and that's, here again, that's why I think Minnesota's not, they're not going to pull the trigger. I'd actually be surprised they pulled the trigger. I just don't see it happening. I don't.
Okay.
I know it sounds good, but I don't see it happening. Because they know once he leaves, they're going to be in water, underwater for a little while, maybe a long time.
But if you get somebody for him, Bennett had a decent season last year. I would go after two guard waiters, who was a stud. I would go after him and a first round. I wouldn't get two first round draft picks. Give me one first round draft pick. I'm already going to get Wiggins. Give me Waiters and Bennett if you want this guy. And you can have him. At least I'll have, you have the point guard there who is a great point guard in Minnesota. You have a two guard, and you got a small forward, power forward that you can work with and try to win some games, try to stay afloat until you get, and then you have Wiggins. You can always center the team around him as his new star coming in Minnesota and build a franchise with him. So you got three decent players. And if Wiggins turns out to be the next Michael Jordan or whoever, then, you know, you want out. You know, it's a crapshoot. So I would be surprised if they didn't pull the trigger on that. Get Wiggins, maybe get Bennett. Even if they go with the two first-round draft picks, they get them, and they see what happens and see how this kid really kind of comes in and matures with the team and see if that's a motivator for him to say, hey, Cleveland, you didn't want me, you're going to regret it. Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the NBA, but then we'll go into a little bit of the NFL. One of the things I wanted to find out is that one of the stories I shot over to you is the Dallas Cowboys have already started selling playoff tickets to the season ticket.
Wow.
They do it to themselves. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Wow. I'm not afraid to
Puma, the women in the bed, the squad is here. Got Black Thor in the house, or I should call him The Voice, because that's what women are calling him in my inbox, The Voice. The Voice of Black Thor. Thank you very much.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
It's The Voice.
I like that.
All right, man. I want to send a shout-out to the player from the Giants. Play anymore. He's only 23 years old, played in 21 games with the Giants, rushed for five touchdowns, and it has to be really sad. This is the kind of sad part of NFL football, is because you got so many guys are out there busting the butts trying to make teams, and it's a dream come true. A lot of people don't realize how hard these men work to try to get to this level, and how as young boys we dream about playing on the professional level, whether it's the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball. And for this kid to be 23 years old and told he can't play the game that he's been working at and loves, it's got to be a tough blow, man. So my heart goes out to him and his family, and hopefully he can do something besides football. And I always tell these young guys who are about to go out there and play in sports, and, yeah, you can have those big dreams, but here's a clear example of get that degree just in case it doesn't work out. Get that degree. So I know you're a Giants fan. I know you heard this story. What do you think about it, Dr. Orr?
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's funny because, you know, after last season, I wasn't a big fan of Dave Wilson. You know, the first year he played, you know, just talk about his career as a Giant before I go into my feelings about him, you know, with his neck. First year he played, I kind of blame Coughlin more so than him, because I know he fumbled the first game and Coughlin kind of put him in the doghouse for the whole year. And my thing is, you got to still play him. You just can't let him to the side. But then he came back, and other than kickoffs, yeah, you know, he's still a little tough time. I think, you know, I mean, I like what he said, basically. You know, I feel sorry for him. Don't pity me. But, yeah, it's tough. You think at 23, like you said, he spent the majority of his life since the age of 8, you know, preparing himself to be at this point, and he can no longer do it, or should no longer do it. So, yes, that's got to be a very hard pill to swallow, you know. I'm glad that, you know, he's kind of taking it well. I'm happy that he's taking it well, because he does not need to strap up and go back on the field again.
No.
At 23, yeah, you don't want to enough. There's too many players now in their 30s and their 40s that barely can move where it's not worth it.
All right. We're being joined right now by Django, the DA Silent. What's up, man? How you feeling?
Everything, man. How you brothers doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to have you.
We're good, man. I wanted to ask you, man, I gave you a week to think about it. Do you have a new favorite team since you let down the Cowboys? I'm just asking, man.
Don't think I don't recognize that worm on the hook. I ain't buying that right now.
I just want to know.
Nah, Craig. Nah, it ain't Friday. Shoot. Forget that.
For those of you who don't know, my real name is not Craig. Me and DeJango are the original Craig and Day-Day from the movie. They stole that for litigation right now. Somehow, some way, they stole our life story.
Alright,
but you don't have a favorite team?
Yeah, I had that favorite. Who's your favorite team? Who's your favorite team?
You know my favorite team. I picked two. I got the Giants and I got the Steelers. Those are my two favorite teams that I follow. One from the NFC, one from the AFC.
In that order.
Huh?
In that order, that's it. So for me, alright, mine are the Carolina Panthers right now.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers. Is my number one team now. And that's where it stands right now. I ain't got no AFC team.
All right.
I've been an AFC. I've been an AFC fan all my life.
If the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, that's still not your team.
Cowboys,
I ain't saying they will win the Super Bowl.
Man, I told you, I ain't messing with the Cowboys. They ain't gonna win those. The 20 of them are already getting his daggone injury together now.
All right, man. All right.
He already put in his stomach gonna be hurting in the playoffs. He already claiming that now. Shoot.
Speaking of the Cowboys, there is a story that the boys send out playoff tickets to their season ticket holders already.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. For 3 years, they're sending out playoff tickets already. Good thing, bad thing.
Hey,
being optimistic, but.
I think that Jerry Jones should get in. I think he should switch and get in the timeshare. That's what he should do.
Hmm.
He can sell. I'm serious. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't see how they continue to keep doing it, man. I don't know. That is probably one of the biggest. I mean, I've never seen anything like it for them to continue to be successful and be profitable. And, you know, can go into the playoffs or win a playoff game. I think it's amazing. He has something, man. I don't know what it is. He done made a deal with the devil or something.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, this is the same man that sold seats to the Super Bowl that weren't even available. So, you know, he's looking to make that money. I mean, Jerry Jones
is looking
to make money. He's looking to make some money. Even if you're a good team, I don't think that's a smart thing to do. It's just not a wise thing to do, man. If you're a team that look like you're going to have a good year, which the Cowboys, in my opinion, don't look like you're going to have a good year, it's not a wise thing. It's just not wise, really. It's not.
Right.
You're almost kind of putting to other teams, especially in the NFC, you know, I mean, the NFC East, you're putting a big target right on your back right now. You know, they're going to make sure you don't make the playoffs. I mean.
And you know what's sad? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's crazy about. And there's no reason, and there's no justification for it, to be honest with you. You know, you look at the Giants. The Giants, okay. You know, they, you know, for a couple of years, they were able to drag through the regular season. When it's time for the money ball, they were able to put it together and, you know, win some games and win Super Bowls and go deep in the playoffs. You take Washington. Washington's been rebuilding for years, so there's no reason why Dallas shouldn't have been able to put together and beat them. Philadelphia went from Michael Vick to, you know, Aunt Jemima to whoever else, and they still, you know, able to give Dallas a run. So it's amazing to me, again, there's no excuse based on the talent level that Dallas had that they weren't able to come out of the NFC East and been successful. There's just no excuse for it. There isn't one. There really isn't.
Yeah.
There's no way through all the transitions in Washington, the transitions in Philly, as well as the Giants. You know, Giants had a couple of transitional years, you know, with, you know, stuff outside of football that could have, you know, knocked them off. And you need to tell me that Dallas can't prevail out of that? They've been the one that's been consistent. They don't have the same quarterback, all that they had was a change in coach, but still, the coach was just a figurehead. The owner was the one that was coaching that team.
Well, two games in the last 15 years, and they sent out postseason tickets. 8-8 in the last 3 years. The last game of the season has always been the nail in the coffin for them. So, presumptuous? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
All the time. You know, I mean, they win the Super Bowl every year in preseason, though. They win it. If you talk to them, they're the Super Bowl winners already in preseason. So I call them. I always call them the preseason Super Bowl champs. They just say that's the Cowboys every year, man.
Well, you know what? I don't even want to give. I don't want to say I don't want to give them that much credit to say they're doing it to themselves. I think that because that's disrespectful to their opponents. I think that Dallas has. I think the opponents just come and they are ready to beat Dallas because they're one of the most hated franchises in the world based on in the league based on just what we're talking about. Regardless of the lack of success, they still have a brand new stadium, state of the art. They still sell out. They still get primetime TV slots. They still are one of the number one, I think they're in the top three franchises in pro sports as far as paraphernalia. Still. The only one that beats them out is the Yankees.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the Yankees.
That's because you have a lot of old – that goes back to you know, our childhood, really. You have a lot of people that grew up, you know, you grew up probably, you know, we grew up in the Cowboys, you know, myself grew up hating them. But back in the day, you only had one game that came on Sunday, or maybe two, possibly two. And the Cowboys always were on TV back then. NFL always had them on. So you became, I mean, I'm up here, you know, in the Northeast, and you got Cowboys. You got people here who love the Cowboys, never been to Dallas. You know, and
right.
I'm a Giants. I've been to a couple of Cowboys games in Dallas. And I will say this, though. Going to a game in Dallas is an event. It really is. It really, really is an event. And there's something about going to a game at, you know, a Cowboys stadium is an event. But my point is, you grew up liking the Cowboys or either hating the ones because they were on TV so much. Roger Staubach, there's so many comeback performances to where it was exciting and exhilarating. So you grew up loving the Cowboys. And then as you start to mature, you start to, such as yourself, you start to get mad at them because they do so many dumb things, but you don't want to walk away from them. You know, you just chose to. So therefore, that's it. But it's funny when you said, you know, they're the highest growth, and that they are. But one thing I will say about the fans, the Steelers fans will travel. Cowboys fans don't travel.
Right.
They don't pick up and go. But the Steelers fans, no matter where the Steelers play, they're there. They're buying the tickets and they're there, which is, and they don't get a lot of credit for it either. They really don't.
Right.
They may not buy the jerseys and all that other stuff, but they're out there. They're definitely out there.
Yeah.
Those are the two teams back in the day that got most of exposure.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have to throw the Redskins in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have to throw them in there because even now, I still see, you see, I mean, around here in the Southeast, I still see some of the old heads with some of the old Redskin either jersey. They have, I mean, the Steelers was the whole terrible towel, and, you know, you had your Stallworth and, you know, your Bradshaw and, you know, Lynn Swan, and you had all those cats, Franco Harris. So those cats are still deep into that. And then the Redskins was the other one that was just over down the Southeast because that whole D.C., they were deep, you know. And most of the folks, it's just like it is when you start talking about Carolina and Duke. Most of the folks who don't want to, you know, want to be somewhat, want to be different, don't want to go along with the crowd and status quo, here are Duke fans. Because popular-wise, as far as just, you know, it used to be Carolina or all over the place. It was the same thing. Same thing. You have people who are Washington fans who live here in the Southeast who just because we didn't have a team which for the Carolina Panthers, they were just Washington because they hated Dallas. So the Cowboys and the Indians. So they just went with Washington. And a lot of that.
Yeah.
Or the Steelers.
Like, Tori, you brought up some bad memories of being a Giant fan back in the day when we used to watch the Giants and the Cowboys play on Sunday.
Oh,
it was the only game they would show, and the game would be over by halftime. The Giants would be down by four or five touchdowns, and years of sitting through that. Oh, my God.
I got a coworker. He is still, to this day, a diehard. I want you to think about the level of punishment he's paid. He had to endure. He's still a diehard Miami Dolphins fan.
Oh, wow, yeah. I know a couple of those. Yeah.
I see
one of their numbers right on our screen. I know he's not going to raise his hand to talk now. But, yeah, I know those Miami Dolphins fans from the 70s, yeah. Yeah, and Dan Marino, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and it's sad. It's sad for him. Let's switch up with Manziel to start. Is he going to start? The Pittsburgh Steelers think so they're getting ready for Manziel to start. And like I said last week, defenses are licking their chops for Manziel. They're not being fooled about who's going to start in Cleveland. They already kind of put their game plan in for the first week they play Manziel to terrorize this young quarterback. What do you guys think? Will Manziel start or not?
I'll say this, you know, from what I hate to even hear his name come up, but you can't avoid it if you turn on, you know, certain networks. If they start him, here's a man in training camp. He's not remembering plays. He's having a horrible training camp. He's all over the place. And as an organization, you know, I'm happy for their general manager, Ray Farmer. I was happy. I lied when he got the job. But I'm sorry, man. If you throw him out there week one just to please the masses and he's not ready, that organization is more buffoonish than I ever thought they were. I'm sorry. I mean, I can't get it. Yeah, you got to at some point, you know, you can't just play to jersey sales. Seriously. You got to get serious, Cleveland. I mean, you got to get serious. You're right. They're licking their chops, and I think it's going to be a big bust in the NFL. I know as much as they want Johnny Football to succeed, He's no Russell Wilson. He's not. He's no Drew Brees. And he's going to find out. He did a lot of things in college off the seat of his pants. NFL is a totally different animal. And he's about to get lit up. Yeah, and it's coming. So if they start him, I mean, if he's in training camp now and he can't even remember the plays, which says, you know, he's falling a little bit too much. I'm sorry. He spent more time taking pictures than looking at his playbook. But if he's in the huddle right now and he's not saying the plays properly and he's having a hard time in training camp and you decide to throw him out there week one against the Steelers, well, the Steelers, that offense, that defense ain't what it used to be anyway. But anyway, at some point he's going to get lit up.
I agree with you to a certain degree. I think that the thing we have to keep in mind, and it's something I've come to terms with as I've gotten older and, you know, watching sports, is that it's entertainment. It's an entertainment business. I mean, to its core, that's what it is. And with that, you know, the fans, we get caught up in the W's and L's, but they get caught up in this is an investment. So I think at some point, I don't think they're going to be stupid enough to start in week one unless whoever they have as the other option is just, you know, either sleeping with the owner's daughter or slap the owner's wife or something. So I think that they're going to start him at some point, and I think what's going to happen is the NFL is one professional sport that I truly believe is easy. I can say easy, but to wow someone the first season, I think is not a I don't think that's far fetched. I think what happens is the NFL is probably one of any sport. Was the number one professional sport that analyzed everything. They have cameras on the line, the defensive line, the offensive line, the DBs, the safety, every aspect of the game. They're filming and they're looking for trends and what are your weaknesses and what's your strengths. And so I really think they go through a lot of analyzing on the off season. So you take, for example, you had a lot of quarterbacks who come in the league, and the first year they wow you. And the reason why they wow you because you don't have anything, you don't have a level of expectation, so you don't have anything to base it on that level. You know the college stuff, but you really don't know. And I think that next season, once they get some film footage and they will analyze you, then that's when they start lighting your butt up. I mean, you don't have a lot of quarterbacks who come in the league and have someone stupid as Washington with all three threes and just allowed him to go out there and start running until he got himself hurt. You just don't see that. So I think that what's going to happen is he's going to start at some point, to make a long story short. But when he does, I think he's going to surprise some people, even though I don't care for him. I think he can care for him. I think he's going to surprise some people. But that next season, when they get that footage on him, or the tail of the season when they start to do some trend analysis, his butt is in trouble. They're going to hurt him.
Okay. I agree with both of you. And by no means am I a Manziel fan. I watched him in college a lot. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a sports journalist, Charles Farmer, last night, and we were talking. And he brought out a point that I really didn't think about, and that's why I think he's going to start in the season opener. And I really had to think about seeing him in games at Texas A&M, where he probably didn't know the plays. He probably broke the play patterns. But this guy has a knack for making plays. And in the NFL, both of you said it, you know, it's an entertainment league. And if this guy can make it on the highlights and make plays, make spectacular plays, escape, get defenses on their heels because they don't know what he's going to do, I don't know how you really, really game plan for that. And I know a lot of college teams that were playing against Texas A&M probably had guys just scrambling around during practice all week trying to simulate it and just couldn't get it done. So I agree with both of you. I think this kid, I don't think he's going to be what people think he's going to be as far as a superstar in the NFL, but this kid has a knack for making plays. He's small, he's little, he hasn't seen that fast, but he just seems to have a knack for making the spectacular plays at times when teams need. I've seen him when they were down in Texas A&M, and he brought them back with these spectacular plays, just one after the other. And I'm sitting there with my mouth open going, what the hell is going on? Why can't these defenses stop him? So you are right, Black Thor. The NFL is a total different animal. It's interesting to see, but I want to see him after that first good one or two licks to see how he responds to that. Whether or not that kind of wakes him up and says, you know what, I need to be more of a pocket passer and not run around here because these guys are just as fast and hit harder than the guys I'm used to in college.
That's what I was about to say, because when he starts to go, he gets the NFL, dude, you're talking about the creme of the creme. I mean, you're talking, these are the best at these positions. It's not like college where you have some players who just, you know, yeah, the guys, they meet their, you know, their requirements, academic requirements, and their scholarship, and they, you know, they getting by, and they know their assignments. No, you're talking about a bunch of cats who actually, and the league is kind of protecting the quarterbacks and stuff now, so we have to keep that in mind, too. But, yeah, so if he gets hit hard enough, first of all, they're going to throw the flag. Obviously, it's got to be a good, clean, and right now the league is kind of, those are kind of few and far between. So they're protecting them a lot now, you know. But I think they, you know. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. But, you know, it's interesting. Going back to what you said, Don, I mean, he was watching him, and he played a couple of games, and he does some things. You know, it's interesting. When you said that, it made me think of, what's the quarterback that Tennessee drafted, the brother that came out for? He played for Texas. I can't think of his name now. And then the championship game, he played. Lights
out. Oh, Vince Young.
Vince Young.
Yeah.
There you go. Absolutely. And it's funny because to this day, I honestly believe that championship game got Vince Young drafted as high as he did. And when he came to the NFL, you kind of saw he wasn't what everybody thought he was going to be. Same thing to Jamarcus Russell. He played in a bowl game, and he played well, and he ended up being number one. And I think when I look at Johnny Football, I kind of see the same thing. He showed some flashes in college, and a lot of it was just thrown up high. He had a 6'5 receiver, and he snatched the ball out. And, you know, and make a little difference. And then you say, okay, everybody thinks at that point it's going to transfer to NFL. And my point in saying that is that, saying this is that here again, if he can't pick up the playbook, if he seriously can't mentally wrap his head around a playbook and understand what's going on, he rolls out there. His instinct is to go out there and be, you know, when everything breaks down, let me go to this. That's not going to work in the NFL. It's just ain't going to work. And I know you're right about the first year. It takes a while for people to catch up. RG3 has talent.
I mean, he can sling it. I mean, play action. I think he's deadly when it comes to play action. Johnny Falls football is basically run around. You run. It's almost like we played football when I was coming up as a kid. You go here, you go there. If it doesn't work, you run behind that car. I'm going to throw the ball up, and you bring it down. And he did a lot of that in college, and it's exciting because on a Saturday afternoon, you say, oh, yeah. But here again, when you get to NFL and, you know, they put the book in front of you, and you're saying, okay, oh, I can't, you know, you're calling the place where we said this, you're not saying something, you're saying something totally different. It's not going to be long for his own teammate around him that's going to lose faith and can't trust him. And it ain't going to be down with that. And if you're winning, it goes okay. But it's another point I want to make real quick. I'm just tired of seeing these quarterbacks coming out of college. Tim Tebow's another one. And Tim Tebow got everything he needed to succeed in the NFL. Everything. And couldn't do it. And now you got this kid coming out, and I don't think he has it. And they're bringing him in. And then here again, just my personal opinion, and I just find a coincidence that they're coming out, and Johnny Manziel was basically Michael Vick several years ago, and they hated Mike Vick for running. Hated him for running. I mean, he comes in now, and it's like it's a new day. Oh, he makes things out of that. I'm just not buying it. And to me, it's a lot deeper than – a lot deeper than the fact that he's just making stuff out of nothing. It's a lot deeper than that.
That's true. And people have said it, and I'm going to say, go out there and say it, is that black quarterbacks have a shorter time to develop in the NFL as opposed to white quarterbacks. It's a known fact. They'll give a white quarterback more time to develop, build a system around them. Because I tend to believe that the chances that Tebow had, a black quarterback would not have
Never got it.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about football, or are we just talking about the workplace?
It's a combination of both. I tied into that a little bit, and I don't want to go there per se, but my point is, if he was, and I'll just say this, and I'll leave the black quarterback alone. If he was a black quarterback within the first week that couldn't pick up the playbook and was messing up the plays, he would have been waived now. I don't care what he was. He would have been waived. You wouldn't hear And it's funny because the media don't even talk about the fact he can't pick it up. They're more concerned when he's starting week one. How are you going to start week one? He can't even pick up the playbook.
Right.
He can't. But he'd have been either waived by now, been playing cornerback. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. Seriously. But this, because he's Johnny's football, he's starting week one. Okay.
Yeah.
Put him out.
Man, even though it's a different era, but still, let's keep in mind, Doug Williams won the Super Bowl, and his team didn't even want to negotiate his salary to sign him next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Think about that. Think about how deep that is, dude.
Seriously deep.
He led his team to a Super Bowl victory, and they didn't even want to negotiate his contract to sign him for that season he came back for.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and come back. We're going to talk about some Major League Baseball, and not about the teams. We're going to talk about the big shakedown that happens. We're going to talk a little bit about Serena Williams. I call her thick and some other things that we're not going to discuss here. We're going to have a moment of silence for the thick and booty and find out what's going on with her. We're going to try to keep it clean with Serena Williams, because I know both of these brothers that I'm on the phone with love thick and beautiful women. So we're going to try to talk sports when we come to Serena Williams and whether or not does she still have it? We know she has that, but sports-wise. And we're going to talk Tiger Woods. Is it time for Tiger Woods to hang him up? So let's take a break, and then we'll be back.
I got love. love for the game. That's why I rhyme and always stay in the booth. Never lying to the people, always telling the truth. I feel the bass in my chest to give power to songs. Girl ripping when I'm home about the hours I'm gone. I can't help it, the studio with Paul B. at. Tried to walk away from it, but it caught me back. Forget my pride, bitch, I even quit my job for the one that I love to work. Music, recognized I'm an artist and spilling my game. Put my heart on the track and have you feeling my pain. Seen a lot of hard times on the way to success. When I'm mad, writing a rhyme is my way to express. Lay back and fall deep in the verse. If I was out in the street, yeah, I'd probably lay sleep in the hearse. It's nothing like when you on the mic tearing the track. Then you come from out the booth and start hearing it back. Everybody there love the sound. That's why they give you hugs and pounds. Now you know you was spitting it. You got the whole run vibing the same. You ain't doing this for watches and chains. You got love for the game. Game.
Dollars and change, switch places for big faces, one in the same with snares and kicks, prepared to mix, in the booth till I'm dead, no roof on my head, even tools in the shed, got a place to stay, but a place to lay, that's what I deal with on a day to day, phone off, heat off, loan shark, spaghetti, no meatballs, at least y'all can eat y'all, feel my pain, on a cloudy day, feel my rain, no food, no drink, just hunger pains. Thinking every day, who this chrome gon' kill? Smiling in women's face for a home-cooked meal. Right now, I hate my life. I love the way I write. For real, I
you
think I see my
the
death.
You are
to
the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Pockets on my jeans on with D. Django, Black Thor, and yours truly, Puma. Follow us on Twitter at the Goon Squad Sports. Or on Facebook, the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Or you can call us. Some of you already called in at 914-219-0880. I don't know where to go first. I think I'm going to go with Serena just to get it out the way. I sent you guys a text a few weeks ago when Serena, I don't know what was going on with her, whether or not she was dehydrated, whatever, and she couldn't hit the tennis ball. I thought she got a hold of that sticky, icky, icky, smoking with Snoop Dogg and all those guys, and she just looked totally discombobulated on the court and couldn't play in doubles match with her sister, Venus. There's reports saying that maybe Serena is done. You know, she's having the worst year of her career, or one of the worst years of her career. She's in her 30s, and usually in your 30s, especially when you're a tennis player, that's when it starts to kind of go away really quickly. I know men stay in there a little bit longer. But you have young women who are coming in the game at 18, 19, and 20 years old. And at 30, 35, 36, 37, I don't know if you can hang with an 18, 19-year-old that has so much energy. What do you think? Is it over for Serena?
Well, I mean, in that match that you're referring to, I mean, she did look like a woodpecker with a headache out there. I ain't gonna lie. I think that, let's give props for her being thicker than cold grits. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you don't have the words for it. You just gotta hum it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
going.
Yes, sir.
Going.
I'm trying to tell you. Man.
Booty and the thick. It's like it sounds like a new soap opera, the thick and booty. Good night.
Yeah, take your time.
Woo! But anywho.
Like, what, in the mortal words of Florida Evans, have mercy.
Yes, sir. I wish I had two hands.
I'm going to say this about Serena. I kind of, same thing with her sister. I think they lost
And I'm not saying because of her age, because age do play a part. But I think her motivation is gone. And I think when you're trying to be an actress and design and all this stuff, you're taking away from what got you there. Now, while you're trying to act, which is not your natural given talent, and I'm saying she can't, you got these young girls coming up to kick your butt. And that's what you're up against now. They're sleeping, eating how to beat you. And you're trying to run around and become the next, you know, Angela Bassett. You can't be given your love, what you was given it 5 and 10 years ago. So I think she thinks she can just roll out on the, because she's so good, she can just roll out there when she's ready and go at it. And you don't have it like that anymore. You don't. You have to be true to your love and your gift. And I think over the years, those two have tried to do too much off the court instead of maintaining what they have on the court. Then your natural time comes when you can no longer do it on the court. Then you go to those aspirations. You go to your, you want to be a designer, you go to that. But they were trying to do too much years ago, and I think they got caught up in it. And I think it's caught up with them. I think, I mean, the rest of the players have caught up. I mean, there was a time when they feared her serve. They don't fear her anymore. They just don't.
They've dominated for a long time. I mean, I have to give it to them. They've dominated for a long, long time. I don't know what else is going on with them. I know Serena had a health scare where she was close to dying at one point, and she had to be hospitalized for a period of time. But when I saw Wimbledon this time and I saw her, it's like she reminds me of some of those NBA players or NFL players where you just see that their skills are diminishing and they're trying to hold on, and you see them trying to do the same thing that won them matches or games before, and it's just not clicking. And I saw that in Wilmington when she was playing against her opponent, and I'm like, this may be maybe a year from now, she announcing, unless she can, I think she could pull it off for another year, but unless she makes a miraculous return, I just don't see her really kind of dominating anymore in this sport.
I don't think she's starting.
Yeah, because part of your success factor when you get to a certain level in any professional sports is the intimidation factor when it comes to your opponents. You know what I'm saying? Because that's part of it. And when you lose that particular edge, you know, then it's all about, you know, mano a mano when you're out there on the tennis court or on the basketball court or on the field. I think that she's losing that edge, but she's held it so, God, dog, I'm looking at a picture over right here. All right.
Yeah, I have a picture up on my computer, too. I thought it was just me.
I can't picture by my mind all the time. I ain't got to put nothing up.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, man. He talking about her ass. Oh, he's dope.
Yeah, dope, like a
Front and back.
Yeah.
I got a monkey foot, right? She got a monkey.
Let's move on. Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you go ahead and move on.
Yeah, we gotta move on. Tiger Woods. People saying, is it for Tiger? Is that it?
He's done.
Wow, at 38.
Tiger was done, in my opinion, seriously. And I it's going to sound comical, maybe not. When that incident happened with his wife, and I'm sorry, when you go away for several months for sexual addiction, which you don't have, okay? And then you hold a press conference. I remember watching this live. You hold a press conference and you run off the stage crying and run to your mommy's arms. You done, bro. You done. You're not mentally strong. I'm sorry. I mean, you're not.
That goes back to what I was saying about the intimidation factor.
You're done.
Yeah.
It's all over. It's done. Because you're like you said, intimidated. That mental game he had is done. And let's think this. I was looking at a list of injuries that he had,
Is he playing flag football on the weekend that we don't know about? Because all those injuries came from golf. I don't play golf, but you look at all those injuries he has, that's coming from golf. A non-contact sport.
That wasn't coming from golf. You see how many women that came out of the woodwork?
Well, Tiger was putting in work.
Yeah, but come on now. Those injuries, come on.
Yeah. You got to think now. Let's be real. So, okay, he had a knee injury, back injury, what was the other one that was?
Neck, elbow, Achilles, yeah.
Yeah. Because that dude, I mean, he goes at it hard. I just think that he's another one where, dude, it's just that time. I mean, you know, the thing
yeah.
I mean, the sad part I see with athletes, man, and this is just, you know, there's only been a few who knew how to walk away from the game before they started to look like, you know, Willie Bobo out there, you know, on the court or on the field. You know, I mean, let's look. Barry Sanders, you know, he was still in his prime, his game, when he just walks away. But there's not too many athletes you can say that about, you know. Most of them wait too long, man, to the point that they diminish to the point where you can go, man, I just want to see him just go ahead. He needs to go ahead and, you know, let it go. Or he doesn't realize he needs to let it go because the ego is so strong, but that's what got them where they are. But the ego and the self-confidence is so strong to they don't realize the skill is diminished until they either get knocked out in the first round and they face planted in the mat or, you know, this guy's driving right around you on the basketball court or, you know what I'm saying, you hold your hand to get taken out of the game that, you know, it's what it is, man. You got to know when to walk away from it and let it go when you're on top. You just got to know when it is, that's all. And a lot of them, I think, don't let it go because they're not used to going home with them badass kids. I'm saying they spend so much time when they come home and they look around and like, man, this one I got.
Yeah.
Oh heck no, man. I'm going back out that I'm going preseason. Nah, forget this.
But you know what's interesting? There was a story, just drop this in real quick, back from there's a book actually coming out that Tiger was on the juice. Steroids. And, it's not getting attention. There's a book coming out. The same guy that was fueling A-Rod was fueling Tiger Woods. I think Tiger paid him allegedly over $200,000 to $300,000. He has made 46 trips over a period of time to Tiger Woods' house.
Okay.
Now it's funny how when A-Rod was caught up in it, you couldn't turn the TV to radio on hear about it. This book comes out about Tiger Woods. You don't know anything about it.
Yeah, and I want to get to that story. With guy, he just got caught by the feds. Matter of fact, A-Rod's cousin was caught up in it too. And before I get to that, here's what I want to say about Tiger Woods. Do you think, and this is what I've been thinking, and I've been talking to people about this, is Tiger's rushing his comeback too much, and that's contributing to him not really coming back 100% healthy?
Of course.
Because Tiger Woods is golf. When he is playing golf, the ratings shoot out the roof. When he's not so much. So maybe he's getting pressured to make these comebacks when he's not properly healed. I think he's not done yet. He's 38. Golfers go to 40, 50 years old. I don't know if he's done yet. I think he could take some time off, get his body healthy, get his mind right, and be the Tiger of old. I still think I have some hope that he can do it. But, yeah,
wow.
I remember seeing him running in his mother's arms. I thought, wow, that's deep.
I think if he's going to get his game back, he needs to get his whole flow back. So get you 5, 6, or 10, 20 of them holes on the side. Do like you did before.
Did you just say holes? Two holes in the side.
I said clothes. I said clothes.
Sometimes you gotta go back to come forward. So I
yeah,
you know. Tiger got his groove back. It might be another book. How Tiger got his groove back.
That's what I'm trying to say, dude. Get him some new stuff in the stable and go ahead and throw with it. He'll be better off,
okay.
You know. Shoot.
Okay.
Shoot, you know, with his Rick James wig on.
I do think he's done, though, because I just don't think he's mentally tough, and I think that's what's going to take him to really kind of get himself back, and I don't think he's there. I mean, I know his body's breaking down a little bit, but I don't think he's mentally tough, and he has a lot of pressure on him to perform and perform well. I mean, and I just don't see him. I don't think that he has enough spears to really write that and get that going straight. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't think so. Here again, the players around him are getting better. They're coming up. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's just him anymore. They've been coming after him.
Yeah. 79 PGA wins, 14 majors, and so I still don't think it's over. We'll see. Let's move to the story about Major League Baseball with the gentleman that got caught up with Tony Bosch. Drug Enforcement Administration snagged Anthony Bosch and a few other folks on the conspiracy to distribute steroids. I heard about Tiger Woods being in that mix. They nabbed a bunch of baseball players. Here's the rumor that I'm hearing from this story, that there are some other players that did not get nabbed that pretty much the story is going to leak out when baseball is in their playoffs, and that some of these players that are projected to be in the playoffs are going to be some of the folks that are named on this list that receive services from Bosch. So it could get real deep, real quick. So we're thinking baseball is boring and nothing's happening, but this scandal is about to break wide open. And I remember years ago in the NFL when they had the steroid scandal in the NFL, there were a lot of major league top flight players who did not get named and not get outed. And some players did because they did not want to hurt the NFL brand. They're saying the same thing here with Major League Baseball. There are some players. So they're alluding to Derek Jeter. They're alluding to Cano. Basically, they're alluding to all the Yankees. They're alluding to a lot of other players who are marquee players that have visited this guy and had received services for this guy, and this guy has to talk at this particular point. He's been holding off, but now it's the point where if you don't talk, you go down. So what say you two?
You know, some stuff I think in these type of stories, and there's another one thing, maybe just the way I view it, but it's cookie cutter, man. They like to throw some popular names in there to get to spark your interest and keep you watching. That's what I think. I don't think it's to the degree that if they had enough on them, they would have been. I mean, I just think that it's just marketing, man, for the story more than anything else. I'm not saying some of these guys aren't guilty, but some of the names they're throwing out there, it is coincidence that it's some of the names that, you know, have been in the game for a while, you know, without any blemish, that you want to start throwing those things. They did the same thing in football at one point. It's just what, and I just think that's what it is. I just think they throw names out there to keep you watching and get you interested. That's what I think. Yeah, how else to do that than to get some of the most popular resources to sell it?
It's like a double standard, almost, kind of. If you think about it.
Say again?
It's like a double standard that some players can be touched and some players can't. So I'm not gonna say, for instance, if Joe Montana, not saying he did, not saying he didn't, but what if when that steroid thing came out, they said, you know what, Joe Montana is our marquee player, or Tom Brady is our marquee player, or Brett Favre is our marquee player. We're going to protect you because if you go down, then the league goes down. But some of these others, here are the players that we can give you that it'll hit hard, but it won't hit as hard as if you touch these players.
And remember that it goes back to the point I was making earlier about we have to keep in mind that it's entertainment and that these are commodities and there's an investment with these guys. And you just don't throw that or allow someone to kill the credibility of that investment because there's a lot of money to be made. This is what it is. Wrong, and indifferent.
It's funny because I look at steroids, and it's not that it makes sense, but steroids in football, you can almost like go, okay, they're using steroids. You know, it's a tough sport. It's physical grueling. Not that it's right, but I think a lot of times football, even in the past, for steroid use, they got a pass because of the nature of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, you look at baseball, and to me, they're the most, outside of golf, they're the most pampered sport there is. I mean, you get a little broken fingernail, you can't pitch for 3 weeks. I mean, I find that incredible. But if you're telling me Jeter, you know, I'm not a big fan of baseball, I don't follow closely, but if Jeter's been juicing and is linked to it, at some point, man, the credibility of baseball goes out the window. I mean, because it has to start rocking that sport. And I know the hardcore fans are probably going to go, so what? But your credibility is shot at the sport, man. I'm sorry, because what is the other than juice players? What else do you have? And then it's amazing when these players fall off the juice, their numbers go down, this go down. So it's like either you're going to allow them to juice and be full entertainment, everybody knows it, or your credibility is done as a sport. I'm sorry. It's amazing. Baseball doesn't want to blame but themselves because they sat around, knew this was going on, never did nothing about it until Congress decided they wanted to get involved. So, I mean, yeah. But if Jeter's linked to it, and it's true.
Whew. Well, that's a rumor that's going on. I don't see it. I just think it's just another reason to throw the Yankees under the bus.
But
I don't see how steroids can make you a better baseball player because steroids can't help you hit a ball, catch a ball.
Yeah,
it increases your strength, but it can't help you. I mean, you got to have some skill to hit a baseball. You can't hit a 90-mile-per-hour baseball because you take steroids. No, because every kid will be able to do that.
Well,
but you got to have some kind of skill.
Well, let's step back now. You got to remember, now, when you get to the pro level, it's based on your ability to apply the fundamentals of baseball. So the hand-eye coordination and bat speed is there to make it a professional level. All right, let's just to even move up to college level to professional level to the division to farm league to division, you know, the 1AA and all this whatever it is to make it to professional. Now you already have that, okay. But what steroids can do, though, is increase your strength so that you, when you do apply that hand-eye coordination, you send balls out for the park. You're hitting some serious hard liners. You're running the bases strong. You have the muscle because you have more muscle strength to run bases, to dive. I mean, to catch that fly ball and, you know, get out there and catch it in the gap. It's the muscle strength. You already got the fundamentals. It's just to enhance everything that you already have.
I think, if you look at McGuire, I think it's a perfect example of what you're saying. Look at him. I mean, he had it together. When he started juicing, the ball flying out of the park. Out of the park.
Yeah.
Now, you know he's probably hit on ones before or hit good hits, but out of the park. Look at Sammy Sosa, another one. Come on. So it does enhance what you're doing to a degree. It does. It definitely is what you're doing.
Right. You have to have the fundamentals and the basics. You got that down.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have made the professional league without it. It's that what it does is it enhances those your ability to be able to be, you know, instead of hitting a deep fly ball, you, like I said, you're hitting stuff out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The throws you make from the outfield. You throwing BBs now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I always thought that, you know, that I know that steroids helps you when you're working out, be able to sustain your workouts more so you get stronger. But there's certain skills that whether you use steroids or not, you're still going to have those skills. But for baseball, I can see football. Like Thor said, I can see football. I can't see basketball, and I can't see baseball as being you need steroids. Or even golf. Why do you need steroids for golf? Well, I don't know. So if Tiger Woods is hooked into this, then, you know, it's really sad. And that may explain, if it is true, why his body's breaking down, because usually that's what happens to athletes. I remember a big wrestling guy back in the day, and superstar Billy Graham, and those guys taking steroids, and you can see them in their older years, their body is breaking down, heart attack, stroke, and all that other stuff. So hopefully that's not what's happening to Tiger. So,
if you think about it, look at a picture of Tiger Woods back in his prime, and look at him now. And steroids don't have to make you huge. It don't make you – you don't have to get to the point where, you know, you're bulging huge. But if you get a chance, Google a picture of him in his prime and look at him now. And it's not a big age difference. So it shouldn't be a significant drop-off. But I think you can see his body contour. It's a lot different. It's a lot different.
I'll give you an example that you can probably relate to in your people. This will help put in perspective. All right. Take us at our age, okay? You already have the fundamentals and understand the fundamentals on kicking it, how to kick it. You got it. Add Viagra to that.
Or as Claude and Ray referred to him as Smurfs.
because what I'm saying is, it don't let taking Viagra going to give you the ability to know all the skills and the techniques. What it does is it enhances what you bring to the table. Same thing. It don't matter what the sport.
I don't know, man. But you may want to study that one a little bit. I don't think that was
it. Yeah.
Four hours.
Hey, I hear you too.
The difference being with Viagra, it takes you from nowhere to somewhere.
But here's the thing. What I'm saying is, but if you didn't understand and didn't have those skills, you wouldn't have anything to take it for.
Yeah.
You would take Viagra because you can't, not because you don't have the skills. Viagra doesn't enhance your skills.
No.
It allows you to use your skills.
It allows you to use your skills more in depth.
We still talk about Viagra now, right?
Here's something to look on the side note. Look at this one. It is a more economical solution to that. It's called Black Storm. Look it up.
Black Storm.
Right. Write it down. Look it up.
Oh, man.
All natural.
We're going to get advertisement for Cialis and all that other stuff.
Here's the thing. I ain't just speaking on because of what I heard. Trust me. Please believe me.
So what you're saying
yes, sir,
is that,
yes,
from your experience, it took, like, you playing pool, it took, you comparing it to playing pool with a long rope to taking the Smurf,
yes,
and playing pool with a big, sturdy pool stick. That's what you're saying,
saying,
by
no,
ever,
I'm saying
Black Storm.
Black Storm, like playing pool with 20 balls on the table. You shooting all night.
Alright, so moving right along. We're going back to Mike Tyson news.
Look it up.
Right after I finish looking at these Serena Williams pictures. But let's go back to Mike Tyson.
Conversation.
Let me talk about news. Now, earlier we talked about there is a movie in the making, in production. Mike Tyson wants Jamie Foxx to play him in a movie. Of course, Foxx played him Ray. He also played Bodini Brown in the Ali movie, Will Smith, which I thought was really terrible. Will Smith did not convince me he was Ali. He was Will Smith trying to play Ali. I thought that was horrible. I thought they should have got another actor for that.
They should have got Will Smith,
but he couldn't pull that off. He just didn't pull that off. And he tried, but he didn't. But I think Jamie Foxx can do this. I don't know if it would glorify Mike Tyson, but I think, you know, I think it would tell a great story that people will learn from. Just like when I just recently saw the James Brown movie, there were some things in there, and I thought I was a James Brown expert. There were some things in that movie that I did not know about James Brown and what he was going through. And I don't want to give away the movie, but the movie was like James Brown explaining to you his life. And it was done really slick in the way it was done. And so I really, really recommend this movie. But what do you think, Mike Tyson, Jamie Foxx?
I think, if he's going to play a young Mike Tyson, then it's going to be hard for him to do that. I think that I think Jamie Foxx has, you know, some good acting skills. I mean, stepping back to your point about Ali, I think Terrence Howard would have did a better job than Will Smith, in my opinion. But
okay.
I think for Tyson, I don't think it needs to be. It shouldn't be Jamie Foxx. Shouldn't be. It's got to be some cat man that. It's got to be somebody that's not a well-known or popular type of cat. It's got to be someone who's a, you know, somebody you don't have a level of expectation for. You know what I'm saying? You already have a level of expectation for Jamie Foxx. So you're already looking at him to do just like what you were just, you know, critiquing Ali and Will Smith for. Will Smith being Will Smith and trying to play someone. I think that's what's going to be with Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx has played some good roles and did good in the Ray movie and some other stuff, but I just don't think he can do the Tyson thing. I think they got to find some character that didn't have a lot of pedigree, someone that you're not having a level of expectation for. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Blackboard,
well,
I know you said the same thing, didn't you?
No, well, I just don't think the movie should be made personally. I just don't.
Okay.
That's my whole thing. I mean, I think Jamie could pull it off. I mean, I if it was going to be me, I would like to see somebody that's not well known come to the forefront and do it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I prefer that myself. I know Jamie can imitate Mike Tyson, but that's someone that, I mean, that's we just need. Well, I would love to see someone else do it, just to say give a young cat that's striving to try to get out there that has some talent. Let him get a break. Let someone else get a break instead of taking Jamie Foxx and be doing it, but I just don't think Mike Tyson should be done. If you're going to do Mike Tyson, you know, then go do the life and story with Dave Chappelle because he walked away from $50 million. So let's take all the super stories, you know, do their life stories, man, because I'm sorry, I just, that's my personal opinion.
You think Keenan Williams can do it?
Huh?
You think Keenan Ivory-Wayans can do it?
I'm not saying it,
man. He did a pick.
Keenan Ivory-Wayans.
Yeah,
and he used to impersonate Mike Tyson. He's too tall. Yeah, he can impersonate
him. He looks too stupid doing it.
Would that bring people to the box office? Jamie Foxx or some unknown guy?
Definitely. You want to get people to go because it's Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's always been a draw. Let's be honest, though, man. Let's be honest. Here's a man that made his money and threw it away foolishly. You know what I mean? Here's a man that bit a man ear off. I mean, come on. I mean, it's made for a box office. I'm not going to knock that. But my point is, I mean, it's buffoonery. It's, you know, just down-home buffoonery, and you're going to treat it like it's something of value. Ray Charles and James Brown live in a time when black entertainers had it hard. They found a way to survive. To strengthen himself to be to be something to their race. Mike Tyson came out. He's a buffoon. I'm sorry. I just, I mean, I ain't mind watching him boxing, that should not be laid out on the screen to be like, okay, I mean, really, that's the way I feel about it. I mean, it's just that he's
making a point.
You know, and that's it. I mean, it's just what it comes down to. I mean, like you said about the movie James Brown, he dealt with some things you didn't know he dealt with. I mean, to me, do a life and story. I mean, he's still living. Jim Brown. Do a story about Jim Brown. Look what he's done with his life and off the field. But, yeah, I mean, he made his mistakes. I'm not saying he didn't, but that's a life I would rather see portrayed. And it's not as glitzy and glamour, and it may not be as box office pill as Mike Tyson. Granted, but who doesn't know about Mike Tyson?
That's what I was about to say. You make a good point, bro. I like you when you said about Ray Charles and you're right. Yeah, and James Brown, they were actually in an era where, like you said, people through all oppression and through all the segregation,
exactly.
All of these guys, you know, stay focused, and that's something that you can look at it and look up to, and you know, and use as a good example. Mike Tyson, like you said, was a buffoon. He was, you know, I mean, unfortunately, that was his case. Yeah, you can look at it and say, well, he was just a boxing icon. That's it. He didn't lead his people, didn't, you know, give people any type of hope that was more than just with boxing. Let's be real. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But buffoonery sells, though. It's buffoonery sells. So it will sell.
I'm not saying it won't.
It sells. Yeah, but, I mean, and it's sad that it sells, especially for us. It's sad. But it sells.
I don't think it would make, but it's going to sell. Let's be real. You make a profit.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to make a profit as well as, like you said, the Ray, the James Brown, those type of movies. I mean, yeah, it's going to make a little profit for people who want to run out and just see. But like you said, who doesn't know the Mike Tyson story? I mean, it's been...
Yeah, thank you.
It ain't like I said, it's not like James Brown. James Brown, when he came through, there wasn't any 2020 or, you know...
Thank you.
There wasn't any of those type of shows where you can, you know... There wasn't any of that for those guys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when you see that story, you're going like Donald said. Because they say, you know, like I said, you won't... There was things you can't say, well, I didn't know that Mike Tyson went through that.
Mm-hmm.
What? What he did?
Yeah, I just don't see it. I just don't. For me, yeah. My money won't be spent on it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
shoot. I mean,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, so you
I
said
agree,
Serena?
It sounds like this movie is a go. It sounds like it's a go. And they're going to go forward with it. And I don't know. I don't know how they will spin it to make people interested or give us new information on Mike Tyson that we already don't know. I would love to see a movie on Jim Brown. There's a book I read years ago called Out of Bounds that Jim wrote. It was an autobiography of Jim Brown.
Well,
it just,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
it just gave me a whole nother light of Jim Brown.
Absolutely.
And all the things that he did. And a lot of people give a lot of bad press to Jim Brown, but that's one of the guys that it seems like if Jim Brown says something, these young athletes, especially African-American athletes, should listen. Because him in that era with Ali and Russell Brown, those guys laid the groundwork for all the stuff that folks are, even white athletes and athletes of different ethnic groups are enjoying today. Those guys really kind of went through it. And the scores of victory that these guys are earning and getting today is because of those guys
when they fought back then.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they put the movie out. I mean, you remember Pootie Tang was in the theater. Shoot.
I remember sitting in the theater by myself watching Pootie Tang, and if Chris Rock ever listens to this show, I want my money back for Pootie Tang. I want my money.
Dude. I don't know you for being a person who drinks, but you must have was drunk to go watch that.
You know what? What happened was I went thinking that I'm going to catch an early show. When I bought the ticket, and you know when you go and the guy tears your ticket, he looked at me like, "You sure you want to go to this movie?" And I'm like,
"Yeah, here's
my ticket."
Yeah.
And I sat in the theater, no lie, I was the only one sitting in the middle of the theater wondering Did they have a fire alarm or something? How come nobody in here watched Pootie Tang?
Yeah,
and I could not believe how bad.
You
got to be drunk or high to watch Pootie Tang to enjoy Pootie Tang. If you're sober, you can't enjoy Pootie Tang. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, yeah. Chris Rock, I want my money back from Pootie Tang. I don't care if it wasn't
that
name.
That was one of the
dumbest movies ever. All right, we got about 14 minutes. We got about 14 minutes left. You guys want to talk a little bit about college football? Because I have the rankings, the preseason rankings. I know we talked a little bit about last week. Are you up to talk a little bit about Let me run through the list real quick. Florida State, preseason number one, followed by Alabama. Oklahoma, the Oregon Ducks, who always seem to be in the top five in every ranking. Auburn Tigers, the Ohio State Buckeyes, which, wow, that's a big fall from the last 2 years. UCLA, surprisingly. Michigan State, South Carolina, Baylor, Stanford, number 12, the Georgia Bulldogs, LSU, my team that I think is going to make some noise this year, they're 13th. Wisconsin is 14th. USC is 15th, followed by Clemson. Notre Dame should not be on this list. They're 17th. Arizona State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, I'm wondering how that. They got on 20, losing Manziel and their top receiver. Kansas State, 21. Nebraska, 22. North Carolina, surprise. Tar Heels at 23. Texas at 24. And the Washington Huskies. Now, the honorable mentions are Missouri, Florida, Central Florida, Mississippi State, Michigan, Miami, Duke, Louisville, Marshall. You have Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, Minnesota, Northwestern, Northern Illinois, Arizona, Houston, Georgia Tech. What's your feelings about this? I know I sent you guys this preseason ranking. What do you think about this list?
I think UCLA is going to make you better than what they have ranked as right now.
Really?
I think they're going to do a little better than what they're ranked.
I'm thinking Ohio State's going to do a little better as well. Yeah, I think they might do a little better.
I'm thinking that too.
Yeah. I'm thinking they're going to take a step up. Florida State's still going to be tough, though. That's going to be a tough. That's going to be a tough. Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough, man. Yeah.
Well, I'm really afraid of with Florida State, their erratic quarterback off the field.
I think it's going to be an issue. I really do. I don't think he's going to be there. I want to bet you money. You either you won't hear anything about him unless it's just something that they're just. He was just happened to been passing by a club in the car. It'll be something simple, but I don't think you're going to hear about anything with him. I really think that's pretty much it. Last year was it. I really do. I think it's too much riding on him this year.
Yeah. I think somebody's going to – I think even a Florida State alum, somebody's going to grab him and shake him up a little bit. But if he's walking around like he's in Disneyland, he got to realize, bro, you got too much at stake. So I think they're gonna grab him, mentor. Somebody's gonna be on him. Dude, that stupidness gonna come to an end because he got a bright future ahead of him.
I think there's some other issues that I'm not gonna say here, but I think this brother's dealing with some other issues that I think that's gonna be an issue that is going to plague him. I don't know if he can help it. I'm not sure. And I've seen it with other athletes that I played with on different levels, these great athletes, but there's something inside of them that they can't stop these episodes of these erratic behaviors. They're great, and they have an IQ off the charts on the field, but off the field, they just can't navigate life on life terms. So the jury's out for me. I'm going to be watching that to see if he has some kind of misstep, then Florida State is done.
But if you look at the case other than the situation with the girl, for him, in my opinion, the shoplifting stuff, that's just being young and stupid. I mean, that's not, it's nothing, you know, that's that serious. So, and he's just a young, simple-minded kid. He really is. But, I mean, even the situation with the girl, you know, it's just simple and stupid. But I think that I think he's gonna come out. I think he's gonna come around. I think he's gonna come around. I really think he's going to come around. But I'm hoping that they put some people around him, because you got enough people, even like Deion. Get Deion up in his face, and you know, and let him know that he's got to straighten up, and kind of ride him a little bit. Cause I think he wants to do the right thing. He's just simple. He's very, very simple minded. So I don't think he's a bad apple at all.
So you have Alabama, Oklahoma, and Oregon. I never bet money on Oregon. They have a high-flying offense, always tanking bowl games, always get to that number one or number two spot, and then the eighth or ninth or tenth game of the season, they find a way to get beat.
It's not like the Broncos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that is a list. I think I'm going to post this on the Goon Squad Facebook page, the three polls, and this is coming from USA Today. So I don't know what ESPN has. It's probably similar, and I don't know what AP or UPI has, but I always kind of go with USA Today because they seem to pick the teams that I like to pick. So I'll go with that. What do you think about the Spurs, going back to the NBA, the Spurs? The first female assistant coach.
Good move. Good move.
Yeah. Have you seen her resume yet? I've looked at her resume. Have you guys seen the resume yet?
No. It's Becky Hammon, right?
Yeah.
Is that her name, Becky Hammon?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched her play in the WNBA a little bit. Yeah. Was she a coach with the WNBA, or is she just assistant coach anywhere, or is she just basically went from the court to San Antonio? That I'm not sure about.
She went overseas for a while. She played overseas. She did some coaching around. I don't know if she did a head coach stint. I didn't say she did a head coach stint from the reports I read in the WNBA. But
okay.
Pop seems to really love her, says that she has a IQ off the charts. The players, I guess she's been working with the players for some time, and the players seem to really love her style of approach, and that they love how she's not only a leader, but she can relate to the players. So this should be very interesting. Kudos to the San Antonio Spurs. If I had to come back and I had an opportunity to play for an NBA team, I would want to play for the Spurs.
Yeah.
Because they seem like a first-class organization. Bob. What you got to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. It's kind of hindsight, but yeah, that's true.
They got all their players, they're signing all their players really quietly. Nobody's really talking about them. They're just reloading quietly. They got D.L. signing his contract on his boat, relaxing. They just signed Tony Parker to an extension. They're just quietly just getting business done. No fanfare, no kind of big news on ESPN. They're getting it done quietly. It seems like they do things the right way. They get class people, quality people in their organization, and they just keep rolling.
Yeah, they do. They really do. They show the way. I mean, they're big on fundamentals. They really, really show the way. And I'm not surprised that they would make a move such like this. And it just shows that organization from the top to the bottom. Yeah. I still think at some point, though, Parker and Duncan, I'm not sure when, age has got to catch up with them. I know they play less minutes and all that stuff, but that's a lot of playing. A lot of playing.
Yep.
Yeah, but they do it quietly. They just keep, the hits just keep coming. I'm in love with that organization. Even though I'm a Knicks fan, I'm in love with the San Antonio organization.
Yeah.
They just do it right. They do it the right way. And,
So you're a Knicks fan?
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan.
You had to downshift for that. I was just asking you. Let off the clutch on hard. Where are you trying to go take a clutch off, man?
Yeah, that's see, the reason why I'm a Knicks fan is because when you're on the East Coast in Connecticut, the New York and New Jersey area, those are the only games you're going to see in
yeah.
that area. That's the only game. And we didn't have cable back then, so those are the only games you're going to see in that area. And so those are the games. Those are the, I know all the lineups. I was watching the Knicks and the Miami Heat, their playoff game yesterday on Classic Television, ESPN Classic, and just looking at those players with Oakley and Johnson and Starks and all, just brought back a whole bunch of memories. I'm still looking for Charles Smith.
Oh,
because
man.
He,
who's
going? We had to do therapy because he couldn't dunk a ball to save his life to put us in the finals. We're still looking for you, Charles Smith.
I saw him in an exhibition game years ago and took all I had not to run the court and knock him down, man. I'm telling you. All I had.
Like a WWF
wrestler.
Man.
Please.
I hear like
that. I would have walked the jail if I knocked him down. I'm telling you, man. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I never like, right. I thought John Starks was a man. Shoot, don't get me started.
He was our guy, New York tough, and would go in and do anything. And he was a little bully. He was annoying, but he was our guy. He's the kind of guy that if he's on your team, he's your guy. He's on somebody else's team, you hate
him.
Want
him, yeah.
Yeah.
When Jordan came to town, his stomach was hurting.
Huh? Yeah, you're putting on him. But, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, but I will say this. You know, as much as I could, you know, knock down Charles Smith, there's a few times I could knock down Patrick Ewing, too. Because I'm going to tell you, game six out there in Houston in game seven, in that series, you know, Patrick, you know, he went to sleep. And I'm sorry, man. If you
finger
want to
roll,
ring, huh?
The finger roll
ring.
Miss?
Yeah, man, you want to ring, you got to step up, and you got to, you know what I mean? Well, Lajuan took it, and, you know, and that's it. That's why right now he's walking around without one because, you know, game six and seven, when you allow John Stark to shoot from the locker room, I'm sorry. You got to step up, man. Give me the ball. I'm taking it. That's it.
All right.
Yeah, when
all right, so what's up, D?
No, I was saying he did that finger roll and it came out the rim. That was a trip, but I'll never get that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't worse than Charles Smith. I don't care. That wasn't worse than Charles Smith.
No, it wasn't worse. It wasn't worse. But you're 7'2". You shouldn't be finger rolling.
No.
No.
Like you're George Gervin. All right. That's going to do it for our show. We got about 2 minutes left. Next week, on tap, Charles Farmer, who is a sports journalist from Ohio. I went to school with this brother. Very knowledgeable. We're going to talk more about boxing because this guy goes to Las Vegas, knows about boxing. We're going to talk more Major League Baseball because we don't talk enough about Major League Baseball. And we're going to get into the wild card races. Here come the Yankees in the wild card. And so we're going to talk about more sports next week. And so, man, thank you, too, for hanging in there. Hey, you said that thing was called Black Storm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it right now.
You do that. Yes, sir.
All right. See you guys next week.
Oh, man.